Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. My heart has been burdened here the last 2 or 3 weeks, as many in America have been burdened by the outcome of the election, by the results of the election, and we know that something isn't quite right about this election. We don't know all the details, obviously. God does. And so what I want to do today is just to encourage you to keep praying, to encourage you to keep interceding for America. We're not interceding necessarily for a man, although, of course, men are involved in this, and political parties, we're not necessarily interceding for a political party, although we know there are political parties that are involved, political parties that have a stake in this election. And we know also that God knows every detail, that God knows all the hearts of men. He looks down upon the earth, he looks down upon the United States, and he sees the hearts of men. He sees what's going on. And so as people of God, men and women out there praying, as people are interceding for the results of this election, they're interceding for righteousness in this election, I want to bring into focus what God's will is for us as believers, what God's will is for us as men and women of God, as men and women of the church, as men and women of his kingdom here on this earth. We represent his kingdom here on this earth. And so I want to bring into focus what we are supposed to be doing in this hour and at this time to help bring the kingdom of God to its fullness here on this earth. And so again, we're not necessarily contending for a man. Although men are involved, we're not necessarily contending for a political party. Though political parties are involved, what we're contending for is the kingdom of God here on this earth. And so we're going to take a look at the kingdom and see what God's will. How do you know what God's will is for the United States of America? How do you know what God's will is for this election? How do you know? The only way you can know is you have to go to God's word and see what his word says about the affairs of men. See what his word says about the kingdom of God, how it is expressed, how it is revealed, and how it is shown, and how it is walked out, you might say, how it is walked out in a daily fashion here on this earth by the people who claim to know God, by the people who are godly people and represent his kingdom here on this earth. Well, turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 11, Psalm 11, verse 1. And we're going to take a look at what God says about the kingdom here on this earth. In verse 1, it says, "In the Lord," this is a psalm of David, "in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart." And then verse 3 is the verse I want to key in on here today. "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so let's go back and look at these three verses. What is David trying to say here? "I put the Lord in my trust. So how is it that you can say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" In other words, David is getting ready to tell us that the wicked are constantly, continually trying to scatter the people of God. Beloved, the wicked are trying to get us to flee to our mountain, to go into seclusion, to go into our cave, to go into our place of refuge, and not represent the kingdom in the affairs of men. And so David is saying, "How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" David is saying, no, we're not going to flee to our mountain. We're not going to go into our cave. We're not going to go into our place of refuge and just let the affairs of men be taken over by the devil. Let the affairs of men be taken over by those who are wicked in their heart. We're not going to do that because God has ordained us. He has commissioned us not just to be saved. Yes, praise God, we're saved. I thank the Lord for my salvation. And you should too. Every day we take joy and we rejoice in our salvation. But that is not the only reason why God has left us here on this earth, just so we can walk around and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. That isn't the only reason God has left us here on this earth. He has left us here on this earth as a representative, as an ambassador, as a commissioner of the kingdom of God. And beloved, if you're not willing to fight, if you're not ready to fight for the kingdom of God, then you might as well leave the earth. As I said last week, I said, if you don't want to contend, you might as well find someplace else to go, because God calls his people to contend for righteousness. This is the battle. We don't take up our machetes. We don't take up our pongas and our spears and our swords and our guns. We take up the armor of God to battle for the kingdom of God here on this earth. And there will always be situations. This election is just one of the situations. It's just one of the events of mankind where God is calling the people of God to stand up and fight. He's calling the people of God to engage in the battle for the kingdom of God. And we can't just retreat and say, okay, devil, the Christians aren't going to get involved in the battle. The Christians don't have a stake in the battle. They're just going to flee to their mountain. And as a result, the devil is going to take over the elections. The devil is going to take over Hollywood. The devil is going to take over all of the business and the politics and the church. That is not God's will. That is not God's plan for the United States of America or for any other country for that matter. And so we have to, as children of God, we have to stay in the battle. We have to stay in the fight. We have to keep praying until a breakthrough comes, until we see God move in a mighty way, until we see God come down and interfere and intercede in the affairs of men. Well, in verse 2, David says, "For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart." And so this onslaught of arrows, this onslaught that is continually coming from the wicked towards the upright in heart, this onslaught is not going to stop. That is why you need the armor of God. In Ephesians in chapter 6 from verse 10 to about 18, God talks about the armor of God. The Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God, and he says, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles and the fiery darts and the schemes of the wicked one." Put on the full armor of God. Beloved, you're going to be in the crosshairs of the wicked one, of the devil, and the schemes and the fiery darts of the enemy are always going to be shot at you. They are continually going to be shot at you. And so that's why you need to stay in the Word. That's why you need to stay in the fellowship. That's why you need to stay in prayer. You need to keep interceding. You need to keep praying. You need to keep studying God's Word. You need to keep yourself clothed in the armor of God, so that no matter what time, day or night, the enemy shoots his arrows at you, you can be protected. You can be assured that you're not going to get taken out by the enemy. And many Christians, they pray for a little while, they give up, they don't study their Bible, and so they don't know what God's will is for their life. They don't know what God's will is for the United States of America, and so they're easily defeated. They easily are taken out by the enemy. So as a result, the arrows that are shot towards them by the enemy, they take them out, they find their mark, and they take out the upright in heart. Well, verse 3, David says here in Psalm 11, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Well, the righteous can pray. The righteous have to pray. The righteous can fast. The righteous can meet, and in fellowship they can pray together, corporate prayer. They can rejoice, they can worship, they can praise. All of those weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not fleshly. Our weapons are mighty in God, mighty in the Spirit for pulling down strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. Our weapons are mighty for pulling down strongholds. And beloved, when we have strongholds in America that destroy or attempt to destroy the foundations of the kingdom of God, when we have strongholds in America that are attempting to destroy the kingdom of God, we need to get the weapons out, and we need to use the weapons, and we need to attack the enemy, and we need to go against the enemy, defend against the enemy, and also attack the enemy. One of the weapons of our warfare is the sword of the Spirit. That is an offensive weapon, and we can attack the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so that is God's plan for His children. That is God's plan for His kingdom here on this earth, that we go after the enemy, we defend against the attacks of the enemy, and then we go after the enemy with the Word of God. That's the reason I'm on the radio today. That's the reason I have this radio broadcast. We can speak the Word of God over this region, over this city, over the earth, through the internet. The foundations of God's kingdom must be upheld if this nation is going to stand, if the kingdom of God is going to stand in this nation or in Kenya or in any other nation. And so it is very important that the righteous stand up and use those weapons that God has given us to keep His kingdom established here on this earth. Beloved, again, to repeat, it's not enough just to save souls, although that is God's will also, and I believe in saving souls. I've saved I don't know how many thousands and tens of thousands of souls, because I've been preaching crusades here in Africa, and sometimes we see thousands of people come into the kingdom in one crusade. I believe in saving souls. A witness and a testimony of my life is that I believe in saving souls, but I also believe in the kingdom of God to be established in the United States of America. The kingdom of God needs to be established here in Kenya. The kingdom of God needs to be established in Burundi and Congo and every other nation on the earth. That is God's will, and that is the battle that we need to engage in day after day after you're saved and while your salvation is being worked out with fear and trembling. And so David says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, let's take a look at the foundations of the kingdom of God, and then we'll know which side of this battle we're supposed to be praying on, which side of the battle we're supposed to be standing on, and which side is the enemy. And so we can know by looking at the Word of God about the foundations. Well, in Genesis 1:26, it says the Lord looked at His creation. The Lord looked at His creation, and He said, let us make man in our image. At that point in time, man had not been created. At that point in time, the earth had been created and the heavenly bodies. But then God said, let us, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit were there together, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, the earth, and over all creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in His image. Without God, there is no creation of man. Without God, there is no creation. There are no babies born. If you want to know what time and at what point creation in the womb begins, it's a time when God speaks over that sperm and that egg, and He says, let life begin now. Let life begin now. That's when life begins for the baby in a womb. And the heartbeat happens within just a few weeks. Within 2 or 3 weeks, the heartbeat begins to happen. And so we know that life begins in the womb. Well, essentially, if you look at this election and many of the elections in the past and the way that the elections have played out in America, the number one abiding issue in the elections, and it's becoming more and more apparent with every election, it's becoming more and more apparent with every Supreme Court nomination, that this election is about the right to free abortion, the freedom to abort and murder babies in the womb. And even now in some states, it's okay to murder babies after birth, after they have been born live. Some states are going to the extreme extent to murder the babies after they've come out of the womb and they're breathing and they're a live person. And they're alive when they're in the womb, but now they're out and they're freely breathing and they're crying and they're kicking. And some states are saying it's okay if the mother and father want to take that baby out and to murder that baby at that point. Well, beloved, this is not God's will. This is an abomination and a grievous abomination to the Lord God. And so this is one of the foundations, probably the primary foundation of the kingdom of God, that he has given life. He has given life. And so you can see in this election and other elections in the United States of America, but it's becoming more focused now because of recent Supreme Court nominations and confirmations, is becoming more focused now that this is the main battle in the United States of America. And God says, I am the one that gives life. I have not abdicated my authority to give life. God will never abdicate his authority to give life, and nor will he ever grant the authority to man without some consequence to take life away, to destroy life that God has given. Well, let's go on then in Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so that's the second pillar of God's kingdom, or foundation stone of God's kingdom, is the sanctity of marriage, the marriage between one man and one woman. If God says multiply and fill the earth, how can that happen aside from bringing one man and one woman together in holy matrimony, in marriage? And marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ. It tells us in Ephesians 5, marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and the church, the bride, are brought together in the spiritual sense. And that is a marriage that will be consummated at the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. You can read that chapter and know that that is the consummation of the marriage between Jesus Christ and the church. And so the earthly representation, the earthly picture of that marriage between Jesus and the church, is the marriage between one man, the bridegroom, and the bride, his bride. And they are brought together in holy union, holy matrimony, to procreate, to be the vessels that God uses to procreate and bring the next generation of children into the kingdom of God, the next generation of children to represent the kingdom here on this earth. And so those two foundation stones, the sanctity of human life when God ordains and initiates creation, and the sanctity of marriage when God ordains the union between a man and a woman to allow procreation to go forth, to allow that vessel to carry a newborn child and to bring forth a newborn child and to be the representative of Jesus Christ and the church and that is the sanctity and the institution of marriage between one man and one woman. Well, when you think about the kingdom of God here in America, we have one political party that is bent on destroying God's plan for marriage. We have one political party that is bent on ushering in new definitions of marriage that don't have any reference to God or His plan for marriage. We have one political party, again, that is bent on bringing destruction to the babies for convenience, for the sake of reputation, for the sake of sacrifice, so that people will not be inconvenienced in their lifestyle. And so we are representatives of God's plan for creation. We're representatives of God's plan for the union of marriage between one man and one woman. And so that is why when the righteous are confronted with these issues, when the righteous are burdened down with these issues, we have to pray, we have to stand, and we have to contend for righteousness. And that is God's plan for you as a believer and for me as a believer. Well, in verse 4 in Psalm 11, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. In other words, He's always looking at the sons of men. He's always watching us to see what we're going to do. He's always watching us to see if there are any faithful, if there are any who are contending for righteousness and contending for the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, His soul hates. Verse 6, upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Verse 7, I'm going to wrap up here with this. For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. The Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright, or the upright behold His countenance. Well, when you behold the countenance of God, beloved, if you behold the countenance of God, you're going to be in shock, you're going to be in pain and sorrow, because you realize how wicked and unrighteous we are as people. You're going to realize that we have not carried out God's plan very successfully here on this earth. We've let things slide, we've backed away, and when the wicked scream and the wicked make all kinds of threats and intimidations, and the wicked burn down cities, and the wicked scream at us in restaurants, we back away. But God is saying it's time for us to contend for righteousness. It's time for us to get a voice, to speak up, and to help the kingdom of God be established here in the United States of America. We will not be silent. We cannot go backwards. We cannot keep backpedaling. We cannot be sent to our cave and to the mountain and say, okay, just leave us alone and we'll leave you alone and let you do what you want if you just let us have our nice little meetings in the church. And we cannot do that, beloved. The kingdom of God is at stake. The kingdom of God is at hand here on the earth, and it is God's will that He works through the church, the people of God, to establish His kingdom. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. God is a God of righteousness. He is a God of justice, and He has to see those things come to pass on this earth. He has to see righteousness come to pass. He has to see justice come to pass. And when they do, then God's will is done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, beloved, keep praying, keep fighting, keep contending. You're going to see a breakthrough coming. You're going to see a miraculous intervention by God. You're going to see God come down and do something great in the affairs of men here in the United States of America. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this message. I am encouraging you to stay in the battle, stay in the fight. It is God's will that we keep fighting, keep contending for his kingdom here on this earth. Gather the Outcasts is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, for the many years that people have prayed for us and supported us. And we invite you to partner with this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but also for the projects in Africa, for our church and the children's home, our big crusade coming up in Tanzania in a couple of weeks. And so we invite you to partner with us. If you've never partnered with us, sit down and let us know you're listening. Write us out a note. Let us know you're listening. Include a check of support. You will be blessed. We will be blessed. You can help be a part of this ministry as we go forward and carry the gospel to the kingdom in Africa and in America. And so we thank the Lord for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.